stand by. Welcome and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, Automating System Z Workloads. Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and will include a live question and answer session. In this teleconference, you'll learn how, with the latest version of the IBM Tivoli Workload Scheduler for ZOS, you can aggregate and centrally manage cross-enterprise workloads with common policies while implementing full workload coordination across applications and systems. The speaker for today's teleconference is Mark Edwards, Market Manager, Tivoli Workload Automation Portfolio. At this time, I'll hand it over to our speaker, Mark Edwards.
Thank you. Today we're going to talk mainly about automating workloads on System Z, but I'd also like to talk about, from the point of view of a System Z-centric enterprise, managing, automating cross-enterprise workloads. So for customers where System Z is a strategic platform, talk a little bit about the benefits of aggregating and consolidating and driving cross-enterprise workloads from Z. So let's move on to slide 2, legal information. Let's skip over that to 3. Mainly, we're going to spend most of our time on IBM Tivoli Workload Scheduler for ZOS, a little bit overview for those of you who might not be familiar with it, and then talk more about what's new with the latest release of TWS for ZOS. And then I would like to talk a little bit about some of the other products in the portfolio, but from an end-to-end perspective. So let's move on to slide 4. So we see this time and again across customers. It's very difficult sometimes to establish consistent visibility, governance, and optimization of enterprise workloads that span heterogeneous systems and organizational groups and IT and line of business groups. So, for example, if there's an online application where a customer comes up and opens up a checking account, there could be a whole series of events and services that are kicked off. And what if something goes wrong? What's your critical path? How do you dynamically adapt to that? How do you make sure this is a seamless experience for the customer and everything happens according to your desired service levels? It can be very difficult to isolate an event and dynamically adapt to it. So this gets to the benefit of, for System Z-centric customers, if you've got a lot of back-end data processing on System Z and a lot of customers are consolidating more workloads on System Z, even Linux on Z, for example, but you can use System Z as kind of a hub for managing this cross-enterprise mixed heterogeneous environment and cut across those silos and more effectively and efficiently manage those workloads. So let's move ahead to slide 5. So the portfolio has been around for a very long time. They've always had extensive calendar-driven planning capabilities and triggering capabilities, high scalability and fault tolerance built in, high throughput enhanced. Especially the investment has been accelerated over the last several years, and that's continuing on into the future. So now this portfolio is truly an enterprise backbone where you can aggregate and consolidate all of these mixed workloads securely and also scale up as your business grows. So let's move on to slide 6. When you think of workload automation, we're really answering a couple of questions. So what, when, where, and what if. So what we want to do, you know, what we've delivered and what our plans are going forward is to automate more and more of this for you. So what is the business or IT service? What is the priority in its relationship to other services? Because you want to drive and choreograph those services across the enterprise and also resolve those dependencies. And you want to be able to define process-related events because you want to manage and trigger those services dynamically. So when? Again, that's leading into when as well. So determine when the service is executed, delivered, and executed based on a time-driven or calendar-driven plan or a process event-related plan. Or even IT resource availability. If an IT resource is down and it comes back online, now let's use it. Or if it's not provisioned, then we provision it in production. Let's start using it. We can do that dynamically today. And again, where? So determine which resource, specific resource or specific resources or a pool of resources that are available to execute those services so that, again, you can dynamically adapt the delivery and execution of these services based on any number of policies or business demand and resource utilization policies. And then what if? What if something goes wrong? What do you want to have happen? What if, do you want to model the impact analysis of making a change somewhere, changing the plan or changing a resource? What's going to happen? So let's look at my critical path and let's model this before I execute it to make sure I've got a pretty good optimized change going. Or what if a resource goes down or a job fails? What do you want to have happen? We have a lot of autonomic capability. Or you can just raise an event and trigger an event and email somebody and notify somebody, and then can take manual action. Or you can have a fully automated recovery process kick off. So let's move on to slide 7. Here's a snapshot of the components in the Tivoli Workload Automation portfolio. So the scheduling engine's up at the top, Tivoli Workload Scheduler. There is a mainframe engine and a distributed engine. And then down at the bottom, Tivoli Workload Scheduler for applications. Those extend the TWS features functions into what we call external environments, like SAP application systems or Oracle or PeopleSoft applications. Then we have a relatively new product, Tivoli Dynamic Workload Broker. This is a distributed product. It does work in end-to-end, mainframe-centric end-to-end environment. You can connect it to the Z engine. And this provides load balancing and brokering, matching the workloads to best available resources based on any number of policies, and we'll cover that in a little bit. And then we've got TWS Load Leveler, and that's an excellent scheduler for high-performance computing grid environments. We're not really going to cover that one today. If you have questions on it, please feel free to get in contact with me. Let's move on to slide 8. So here's a quick overview of the components in Tivoli Workload Scheduler for ZOS. The main components are the controller, that's really the engine, and then the trackers. So the trackers monitor the resources, receive the jobs from the controller, submit the jobs, and monitor all that and send events back to the controller and the status. The trackers also integrate with WLM, Workload Manager, a component of the ZOS operating system. And we'll talk a little bit about the value that gives in a little bit. The trackers can function as backup controllers, and you can designate one tracker for that or a couple of trackers, and this can be within a sysplex or span sysplexes. And then some of the other components include a lot of programmatic, open publish programmatic interfaces, and then, of course, the graphical user interfaces. We've got a Java job scheduling console and a web-based dynamic workload console, and we'll talk a little bit more about that one going forward. And, of course, we've got the panels and whatnot. So let's move on to a little bit about the key features. So TWS for ZOS is a subsystem. So it consumes very little resources, hardly any at all, in fact. It is highly scalable and is very fast, has extremely fast throughput. There's almost no latency in the product. And it does have built-in redundancy. So it's very fault-tolerant. Automatic failover from the main controller to a backup to a standby controller, for example. It is process-driven, event-driven, so extensive calendaring capabilities or event-driven capabilities, and it is completely resource-aware, and we'll talk a little bit about that as we go forward. So let's move on to slide 9. So what's new? We're going to cover a lot of this in detail. I just wanted to have a quick summary. So a lot of automation built into the product now, tighter security and networking capabilities, a new graphical user interface, that web-based console, and we've got open publish J2EE and web services API. So you can take TWS jobs and plans and publish them to an SOA service registry. Let's move on to slide 10. So critical path analysis. What TWS will do for you, you can designate certain jobs or services as milestone jobs or critical jobs. Before you execute those jobs, TWS will calculate the critical path. It will take the last job and work backwards and figure out how long is this job going to take. And if it's at risk of completing late, there's some automation that can happen. So one is that the job, if it is at risk of completing late, TWS can automatically promote that job to a higher priority service environment with much higher performance goals than, say, other less critical jobs. So that job now takes priority in terms of getting matched to resources ahead of less critical jobs to help speed up that critical path. And working with WLM, the jobs can actually be dynamically brokered or routed to best available resources to help compress that critical path even more so you can be sure that this job is going to complete on time. Let's move on to slide 11. So a little bit more on workload brokering and load balancing. So TWS will check that WLM is Workload Manager. Again, it's a component of the ZOS operating system. So TWS will check the scheduling environment availability status before submitting a job. And TWS will route or broker the job to the MVS systems in the sysplex or even across sysplexes based on the best available resource and service class priorities. And again, this does tie back into the critical path analysis. and the jobs are automatically resubmitted if the service and scheduling environment availability status changes. And again, the jobs can be promoted to higher service class with higher performance goals if they are milestone jobs on the critical path and they are at risk of completing late. So let's move on to slide 12, a little bit more automation on ZOS. So what we've done is we've got built-in integration now between TWS for ZOS and Tivoli System Automation for ZOS. System Automation for ZOS is a very advanced automation product. I'm not going to go into complete detail about what it does. It can do console automation, but I want to give an example of application automation in connection with the jobs or the workloads or the services that are being processed by these applications. System Automation for ZOS can manage multi-tiered application that may span the mainframe and distributed systems, or you know, has multiple components that are spread out in a sysplex, for example. And so what does that mean? It's very easy to start up or shut down a complex application. System Automation will manage all of the complex relationships between the application components and start each one up in the proper order or shut them down in the proper order, so you have a very controlled fashion. And it does that automatically. And if there's a failure to any one of those components or the whole thing, it can restart it or fail it over to another resource. So what this integration gives you now is system automation operations are basically just more jobs to TWS. So you could schedule the moving of an application or the starting up of an application or the provisioning of an entire engine, for example. TWS would trigger system automation to do something, like move the application from one data center to another, for example, or from one sysplex to another, and then follow that and start submitting jobs when the application's been recovered or started up. Also, if there's a failure to an application or one of the components, like a database goes down, you certainly don't want the application to continue submitting jobs because you'll end up with a bunch of error codes. So system automation, for example, if it has to force down a database and bring it back up, it could know to force down the application and bring it back up so that it's synced with the database. And TWS would be aware of all of that, aware of what's going on with those resources, and it won't submit jobs to those resources until they're back online, for example. So this can save a lot of time and, you know, automate a lot of recovery processes, and you get more control over planned changes in your data center if you wish to schedule certain things. That system automation can do that through TWS. Let's move on to slide 13. We're introducing the notion of virtual workstation. So traditionally, workloads were assigned to one workstation, which has one destination. So for example, jobs 1 through 5 here in this picture on the right were submitted to one workstation and a single MVS image. Although they may be executed, and they might be brokered and load balanced and executed in other images. So this new virtual workstation concept, we sort of abstracted that workstation layer to allow multiple destinations now. So this exploits the load balancing, the workload brokering feature more extensively. So the workloads can be assigned now to virtual workstations and automatically distributed to destinations currently active and connected to the controller. So jobs 1 through 5, for example, in this example, can now be submitted to several virtual workstations instead of just one and dynamically brokered and submitted to the MVS images. Let's move on to slide 14. So TWS already had a no-error feature, so you could have TWS watch for certain error codes and choose to ignore them if you wish. This feature has been enhanced. So now you could put in a general entry, such as four numbers, you know, and have it scan for any error codes that fit that format and ignore them. Or you could put in specific entries. So what we've done is we've added a new specific entry, and there's more relational, more flexibility, and you know, you can specify a range of error codes. There's a new flush error code. So it gives you a little bit more flexibility on a little bit different range and the kinds of error codes you wish to ignore. Let's move on to slide 15. This really applies in end-to-end environments, so the NT password encryption. We now have two options. One is a centralized encryption where the Windows passwords are encrypted and stored on the mainframe. So this would be for when the same Windows user will run jobs on all the Windows machines. We also now have a decentralized local agent encryption feature where the Windows passwords are encrypted and stored on each local machine. So different Windows users for each local machines now. So the user selects a local encryption method, and then the mainframe checks the controller where the jobs are being driven out of, checks on the user and the passwords, and if they're skipped in a local user file in Windows, is searched if users and passwords are not found in the Symfony file. Okay, let's move on to slide 16. We've added more TCP/IP support. So TWS exploits several different communication protocols within the mainframe, and we've added new TCP/IP support for customers who want to switch from SNA to TCP/IP. So, for example, TCP/IP is available between the controller and the trackers, the ISPF dialogs and PIF, and the controller and the data store. And the TCP/IP support is implemented with virtual internet protocol addressing, IPv6, SSL, and new parameters to define TCP/IP and activate SSL support. Let's move on to slide 17. So this is the new dynamic workload console. There's a simple screenshot there. This is a web-based console. You can run it anywhere, and it connects to the master. And here you can do all of your operations. You can monitor the jobs and the resources that are in production, and you can generate reports, job run histories, late jobs, missed deadlines, for example, job run statistics, production statistics, etc. It does ship with a self-contained database, so you can store as much historical data as you wish. And let's move on to slide 17. So now I want to talk a little bit about some of the other products in the portfolio, but again, mainly from an end-to-end standpoint. So here we have Tivoli Workload Scheduler for distributed systems. So this is a self-contained component. It can run on any distributed operating system, including Linux on Z. And it can connect to TWS for ZOS in a number of different ways. So let's discuss first some of the major components of TWS first. So the scheduling engine here we call the Master Domain Manager. You can parse up TWS scheduling domain network into different domains with the domain manager. And then the agents. There's a fault-tolerant agent, and there's a standard agent. There's also an agentless capability if you have a server where there's non-critical jobs and low volume of jobs, and you just want to trigger a remote shell script to do something at a certain time, we can do that as well. So the way this can connect back to TWS for ZOS is you can have a peer-to-peer end-to-end scheduling network where you're using the master domain manager, and you're also using the ZOS controller for TWS for ZOS. But you have some commonality between them, so you can trigger some of the mainframe jobs from TWS distributed, and you can trigger some of the distributed jobs from TWS for ZOS. You can also directly connect the domain managers and any of the agents back to the ZOS controller, so that would be an example of a mainframe-centric end-to-end scheduling network. And there's a lot new with TWS distributed, a lot of automation capability built in. We'll talk a little bit about that. Stronger security and network features. They have the same web-based dynamic workload console. It's common to both of them. So if you're using both of them, or you're using a mainframe-centric or a distributed-centric end-to-end environment, you have a single point of control. And we've also got the same SOA architecture, SOA-enabled runtime infrastructure for TWS with open published Java and web services APIs. Let's move on to slide 20. One of the significant new features of TWS Distributed is the event-driven workload automation capability. TWS could always do event triggering, but we really relied on scripting to monitor for the events, correlate the events, and then take some action based on the event. Here we've got more of an event-driven automation engine, if you will. So we can easily define event rules without scripting, event correlation conditions, and then some action, whether it's triggering a job, not triggering a job, or generating some alert and or notification. We can do things like that. Let's move on to slide 21. Here's a little bit more about the types of events. And again, it's more policy-driven, no scripting. So a file event, whether a file was received or sent or created, updated, deleted, some message logs, can monitor message logs, the status of TWS objects, changing or agents, for example, CPU utilization thresholds, SAP-based events, and then correlation rules gives you a lot of flexibility of how you want to filter those events, and then take some action. You know, as I said before, you can submit a job, you can answer a prompt, you can send an email or some sort of alert or notification, for example. Let's move on to slide 22. Now, TWS for Applications is another component in the portfolio. And again, this just extends TWS or TWS for ZOS into what we refer to as external environments. So It's a collection of extended agents for SAP or Oracle, PeopleSoft applications. Or if you're using TWS Distributed, but you don't want a Z engine, we have an MVS extended agent so that you can have TWS Distributed in an end-to-end scheduling network. So let's move on to slide 23. What's new with TWS for applications? Most of it's specific to SAP. SAP certification, so we can really exploit and drill down into SAP visibility and control. We can monitor SAP jobs, whether they were created in TWS or SAP, and you can choose to have TWS intercept those jobs and submit them when you want to, even if they were created in SAP. We can drill down deeper into more parent, tracking more parent-child jobs, and we can kill SAP jobs and associated child processes if you wish. And you can automatically import SAP calendars, the factory calendars, into TWS plans, and you can automatically sync them and then send the updates back to SAP. And we can fine-tune the built-in SAP load balancing across server groups. For PeopleSoft and Oracle systems, we've extended platform support to include Solaris and HPUX, and we've greatly simplified the installation, the configuration, and deployment. There's also IPv6 and other standard support for all of these extended agents. Let's move on to slide 24. So Tiddly Dynamic Workload Broker, the relatively new product, just for distributed environments again, but you can connect Tiddly Dynamic Workload Broker to the ZOS controller in an end-to-end network. And what this does is it's complementary to TWS. Since that TWS is a distributed scheduler, it doesn't do load balancing, though. TDWB does the load balancing. So instead of having TWS or TWS for ZOS send a job to a specified distributed server in the or workstation in the plan, you can abstract that to a great degree. You can send it to the TDWB server, and you can set up policies to drive where that job goes and have policy-based matching of workloads and resources. So let's move on to slide 25. There's a whole laundry list of things new for TDWB, Tiddly Dynamic Workload Broker, because it is a relatively new product, but I just want to highlight some of the policies here. So you can manage the matching and dispatching of workloads based on the job requirements, the resource performance and attributes, and business policies. You can specify the kinds of resources, physical or logical. You can get even more granular and enable maximums and minimums. So you can specify physical and virtual memory size and utilization, the type of CPU and quantity and speed, operating system type and version, file systems required to run the workload. So it's pretty flexible. And it does support virtual server environments like VMware, for example. Let's move on to slide 26. Here's an illustration. So similar to what happens in a Sysplex, with TWS for ZOS, we now have this capability in distributed systems. So, again, the job would be submitted to TDWB, Tiddly Dynamic Workload Broker, and the TDWB is monitoring the resources. So let's say, for example, a resource fails. Well, TDWB won't submit the job there. So it'll look at the pool of available resources and route the job to another resource. We can get more autonomic than that if you include a provisioning product. So, for example, Tivoli Provisioning Manager. If there aren't enough resources to execute the jobs in the required time against the desired service levels, Tivoli Dynamic Workload Broker can have Tivoli Provisioning Manager provision more resources into the resource pool, and it will automatically see those new resources and start utilizing them. And then when the workload subsides, it can have Tivoli Provisioning Manager move the resource somewhere else. Let's move on to slide 27. So, again, we've got a lot of components in the portfolio, so it provides a significant level of flexibility depending on what your environment is like. So if you wanted an end-to-end workload automation environment, you wanted to aggregate and consolidate and sync up all these mixed workloads and control them and view them and establish consistent automation across a complex environment, you can do that. You can do that several different ways. So one is parallel schedulers with a common console. So you would have a ZOS scheduler and a distributed scheduler, and you could have a single web-based console. So you have a lot of commonality, even though you have a Z scheduler and a distributed scheduler. You could have a mainframe-centric end-to-end scheduler scheduling network, or a distributed-centric end-to-end scheduling network, or peer-to-peer schedulers. So, I'm sorry, let me be a little more clear on parallel schedulers with the common console. So that would be an end-to-end network, but you're not really driving mainframe workloads from a distributed scheduler and vice versa. Those would be kind of separated systems per se, but you have a lot of commonality in how you view, how you define the jobs, how you monitor the jobs, and, you know, policy-driven things in your reporting would all be common. Down below that, the peer-to-peer schedulers is where you could have a mixture of mainframe-only jobs, distributed-only jobs, and then some mixture where you're driving jobs across platforms. So let's move on to slide 28. Here's an example of that peer-to-peer configuration. So again, you have centralized planning and monitoring and control of cross-enterprise workloads. And you can get pretty complex depending on your data center. So again, very flexible solution. Slide 29, didn't really talk about integration points, but I just want to highlight that the product has a lot of built-in integration with other IBM offerings. Here's kind of a laundry list of them, and they give you more advanced monitoring features and more advanced autonomic features, automation capability. So, for example, you could use Tivoli Enterprise Portal as sort of an operations hub, if you will, where you want to send all your events to the Tivoli Enterprise Portal, whether they're scheduling OmegaMon events or ITM events. Or let's say you want to do some correlations, you can send them to Tivoli Enterprise Console, that kind of thing. So Tivoli Business Service Manager, you can send jobs and events and critical path analysis to Tivoli Business Service Manager, and you can monitor the business services and their resources against events and against key performance indicators. So that gives you a nice graphical view of your business services and your workload automation environment. We talked a little bit about system automation for ZOS. There's also integration on the distributed side for system automation for multi-platforms. And we can go on and on. If you have more questions about this, please feel free to give me a call. And with that, that concludes my presentation, and I would like to open it up to questions, and I'll turn it back over to the operator.
Thank you, Mark. Now we'd like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. Right after the survey, we will have a live Q&A session with the presenter. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time that you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selection. And our first question, please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. Or if it was low, press star 3. We'll pause for just a moment to give everyone a chance to signal. Was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference? If it was at the right level, press star 1. If it was not technical enough, press star 2. Or if it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. Once again, we'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone a chance to respond. Third question, are you currently evaluating any job scheduling tools? If yes, press star 1. If no, but we plan to soon, press star 2. Or if no and we don't have plans to do so, press star 3. We'll pause for just a moment. Final question. We hope that you have enjoyed the teleconference today. Please let us know if you're interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. Again, we'll pause for just a moment. And that does conclude our survey. Thank you all for your participation. Now let's move to your questions. To ask your question, please press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your touch-tone telephone. At this time, I'll turn the conference back over to our speaker while we wait for questions. Once again, that is star 1 if you'd like to ask a question. And it does appear there are no questions at this time. Mr. Edwards, would you like to make any additional or closing remarks?
Just to say thank you, everyone, for signing up and for listening in. And if you have any other questions in the future, please just pump me down. Thank you.
That does conclude today's teleconference. Thank you for your participation, and have a wonderful day.